Ladies and gentlemen, warm welcome in particular, of course, to you, Edward and Chiara, at this occasion. And it's good to see some of these television fragments, which you must have set an absolute record on intellectual content on Dutch television during that program. Also, a warm welcome to our international guests, and of course also the Dutch physicist, who perhaps your mind is somewhere else, but clearly you observe the quantum phenomena that observations can influence experiments, and therefore you are here. I think very good. Ladies and gentlemen, with the Lawrence Medal, the Royal Netherlands Academy of Arts and Sciences honors Netherlands' foremost theoretical physicist, Hendrik Anton Lorentz. He was a distinguished professor at Leiden. He was actually holder of one of the first chairs in theoretical physics. He was a Nobel laureate in 1902, the second award in physics. He was a long-time chair of this academy, and he was a scientific diplomat par excellence. I think the combination of his understanding, wisdom, tact, and charm made him famous and admired among his contemporaries. As chair of the, for instance, the Solvay Conference, he was truly, I think, a unifying force of physics in Europe, and particularly after the Great War. Albert Einstein said about him, he meant more to me personally than anyone else I have met in my life's journey. And in fact, it was Lorentz who, during the war, his telegram actually informed Einstein of the experiment of after the war, informed Einstein of the experimental test done by Eddington to verify his general theory of relativity. Lorentz was really truly a national figure. 100,000 people attended his funeral in Haarlem on Friday the 10th of February 1928, and at 12 o'clock, telegraph and telephone services were stopped for 3 minutes across the country. Kind of involving another relativistic effect, I would say. And I guess Sir Ernst Rutherford's words on behalf of the Royal Society kind of summarized his achievements in one sentence. He said, "Lorentz has made his life into a work of art." So we're kind of very proud that there are many remembrances of Lorentz, but I think this medal is one of them. In fact, the Lorentz Medal was established in his honor at Lorentz Golden Doctorate, and here I have to correct the chair. I think it was the 11th of December 1925, and you can see already on this picture the truly wonderful gathering of friends and colleagues. You will recognize many famous physicists at that time. In fact, it was decided to start the Lorentz Medal, and if you see, it was awarded every 4 years, and the list of awardees is very impressive indeed. In fact, the first medal was awarded by Lorentz himself to his close friend and colleague Max Planck on May 1927. And Planck accepted this honor, writing to Lorentz in February of that year with characteristic modesty, "The news has made me happy and glad. Even though recently there have been so many wonderful achievements in the area of theoretical physics, remember, just basically we were just living through the great days of quantum mechanics, that I cannot depart from the thought that the first award of the Lorentz Medal could easily have found a more worthwhile person." Very modest. Lorentz died, as I said, the next year at the age of 74 after a brief illness. The second medal was awarded in 1931, 4 years later, to Wolfgang Pauli for his exclusion principle. The laudation of Paul Ehrenfest, Lorentz's successor at Leiden, set a high standard of originality, making good use of the fact that Pauli liked a good joke and was not only intellectually, but also physically well-rounded. As Ehrenfest writes in his draft, "Why are atoms thick? Because not all electrons fall into inner rings. Why don't they do it? Because of the electrostatic repulsion? No, they don't do it for fear of Pauli." And so we may say, Pauli himself is so thick because the Pauli principle holds. Ehrenfest had also asked Pauli to wear a formal black suit at the award session. Pauli answered in a letter, "Just now I ordered a new black suit at my tailor's, but I shall only put it on at Amsterdam if you promise me to thank me in public in your official elocution at the Academy. Please say in addition that I still got a sense of humor, whereas many physicists lose it when they grow old." Indeed, Ehrenfest's laudation included the required reference, at least to the first part of the proposition, as Hendrik Casimir, a former president of this academy, has recalled in his autobiography. In fact, Ehrenfest spoke the following words. You will have to concede, Herr Pauli, by partially waiving your exclusion principle, you might free us from many worries of daily life. For instance, from the traffic problem in our streets, and, he added in words, not in writing, you might also considerably reduce the expenditure for a beautiful new formal black suit. Dear Kurt, you are in a comfortable position that many more crazy things are possible than reducing the price of a new suit without even waiving any principles of your theories. Now, on behalf of the jury, and the chair of the jury, Professor Carlo Beenakker, who unfortunately cannot be present here, I'm now happy to read the official laudation, which will be illustrated by a few cartoons to see whether we can still live up to one of Pauli's principles. By the way, this is a picture of the award to Pauli. If you see it in the old vergaderzaal, the old room, and you see that Ehrenfest, Zeeman and Kramers in the audience. Laudation for the 2010 Lawrence Medal to Edward Witten. Edward Witten is clearly the most influential theoretical physicist of the past three decades. He has authored more than 300 publications in quantum field theory, string theory, and mathematical physics. His work combines a profound understanding of physics, mathematical elegance, and a remarkable clarity of argument. His countless contributions to physics as well as mathematics cover a broad range of original and pioneering discoveries and theoretical models, many of which bear his name. He has surpassed all other modern scientists in bridging the gap between mathematics and physics, and doing so has made extremely important contributions to both fields of science. For his contributions to mathematics, Edward Witten was awarded the Fields Medal in 1990, being the first, and until now, only physicist to win this prize, the highest honor in mathematics. He has received many other prestigious awards, among others the National Medal of Science in 2002 and the Kraft Ford Prize in 2008. In his research, Witten focused on two key themes, supersymmetry, which is clearly a physical concept, and topology, which belongs to the world of mathematics. His brilliant insight is that these two apparently different subjects are closely related to one another at a fundamental level. That insight has enabled him to make many spectacular discoveries of inestimable value for both physics and mathematics. Much of our current knowledge in both these disciplines can be attributed to his work. The standard model developed in the 1970s to describe all the physical particles still has a number of unsolved problems. These include the mass of the Higgs boson, which, according to observations, is much lighter than theory would suggest is natural. This is known as the hierarchy problem. Witten was the first physicist to take this problem seriously and to understand that the answer could lie in broken supersymmetry. The concept of supersymmetry assumes that for every type of boson, or force particle, there is a corresponding type of fermion, or matter particle, with the same mass. Since it has not been observed, supersymmetry must be broken, a broken symmetry at low energies. Witten has described the mechanism responsible for this and demonstrated that it offers a natural solution to the hierarchy problem. He has furthermore introduced a criterion referred to as the Witten index that determines whether or not supersymmetry can be broken. His work on the phenomenology of supersymmetry has set the standard in this area of research. Witten has also made important contributions to supersymmetric gate theories. In 1994, he and Nathan Seiberg published a precise, effective description of supersymmetric gate theories with enhanced N equals 2 supersymmetry. Known as Seiberg-Witten theory, this is an unparalleled theoretical achievement that has given rise to many deep insights into the structure of quantum gate theories. For example, the mechanism of supersymmetry breaking and the origin of the meson spectrum. Again, marrying deep physical phenomena with topological structures. Witten, of course, has played a leading role in developing string theory, the most comprehensive and perhaps the final description of the fundamental forces and elementary particles. His work on gravitational anomalies in 1984 set the stage for the theoretical breakthrough leading to the first string theory revolution that same year. He subsequently demonstrated how this theory can lead to a realistic description of nature via compactifications on Calabi-Yau manifolds. It was also Witten who, during the second string revolution in 1995, recognized the importance of electromagnetic dualities and once again pointed the way forward towards the most important subsequent theoretical discoveries. He made many of these discoveries himself. The 11-dimensional supergravity theory that gives rise to string theory, the most promising compactification of 11-dimensional supergravity in phenomenological terms, and the relationship between gate theory and the geometry of space and time. Some years later, in 1997, Witten and Juan Maldacena formulated a holographic relationship between gate theories and quantum gravity, naming it the anti-de Sitter conformal field theory correspondence. This revolutionary discovery has dominated theoretical physics for the past 13 years, with Witten's dictionary playing a key role. Witten's most striking theoretical achievement is the introduction of topological field theories. The most important example in physics is the three-dimensional Chern-Simons Witten theory. Indeed, many objects, theories, and theorems are named after Edward Witten. This theory and a closely related Wessel-Meinong-Witten model plays a role in describing the non-abelian statistics of quasi-particles in the fractional quantum Hall effect. Topological field theory has many, many other applications in mathematics and in physics. For example, in the quantum mechanical description of black holes. But it's in mathematics in particular that it led to significant and spectacular breakthroughs, for which reason Edward Witten was awarded the Fields Medal. Witten has produced an astonishingly impressive body of work, and his influence on theoretical physics over the past 30 years is unequaled. He's the most citing living physicist. This association to the legacy of Lorentz is quite appropriate. Hendrik Antoon Lorentz was in many ways the first modern theoretical physicist. At the end of the 19th century, he had a clear vision of how physics would evolve in the next century. Nature should be understood in terms of matter, composed out of elementary particles, interacting through radiation, described by precise mathematical laws. These insights were spectacularly confirmed by the great revolutions of 20th century physics, and culminated in the framework of modern quantum field theory. Edward Witten's supreme intellectual leadership, brilliant elegance, intense focus, and singular vision of the course physics could take in the 21st century makes him, in all respects, a most worthy recipient of the Lorentz Medal. Thank you very much.